Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. I've got one question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. We come to you live from the Quicken Loans Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Welcome back, everybody. DA with you. A lot to talk about this final hour of the show after yesterday's NFL week number two. CBS's Super Bowl season continues this Sunday when Denver battles Baltimore, Oakland meets Miami, Buffalo heads to Minnesota, Cincinnati collides with Carolina, Tennessee takes on Jacksonville, and in the City of Angels, the Chargers clash with the Rams. The day kicks off with the NFL Today presented by Jeep at 12 Eastern on CBS. Yesterday, another big day for Ryan Fitzpatrick. Only 5 incompletions, more than 400 yards passing, 4 scores, only 1 pick, and a win over the defending Super Bowl champions 27-21.
Fitzpatrick goes over the middle, caught ball, Howard to the 40. Howard outside the numbers to the left, got a blocker on the sideline. 40, 40, 35, 30, to the 25, 20, to the 15, to the 10, 5 for Jerome, touchdown Tampa Bay, O.J. Howard.
Yeah, that was cool when they played the magic song after the one. And yeah, Ryan deserves everything he's getting right now. He's playing great football, so why not?
Dirk Cutter after the game. Gene Deckerhoff, voice of the Buccaneers. The Buccaneers, radio network. We win. Stubbs tweets, you're right, D.A. How dare Fitzpatrick give something besides a robotic sports post-game interview? The mothership says no one else can have any fun. Hashtag get him out. There's a part of me that likes that Ryan Fitzpatrick doesn't play the Matt Ryan, say something boring, cliche, and safe. Other quarterbacks don't play that game. I agree. Fitzpatrick dresses up funny, has some funny answers to press conference questions, jazzes it up a little bit, having fun. The Buccaneers having fun. Everybody thought they were one of the worst teams in football, especially without their starting quarterback for the first 3 weeks, and now they're 2-0. But he's got 2 good games. I mean, I know Fitzpatrick wants to savor the moment. He's had 2 good games, but Fitzpatrick has been a disaster in so many places. Ask Bills fans how they feel about Fitzpatrick, if they would love seeing him in DeSean Jackson's workout clothes, a gold chain, laughing after a win for another team. They said, we paid you all this money. You were supposed to be the savior, and you sucked. Fitzpatrick has gone many places and sucked. And now he's had 2 great games, and he's the life of the party. People are bothered by that because he has sucked before. If they are 12-2 with Ryan Fitzpatrick, and it's December, and they've clinched the division and a bye, and he comes out looking like that, I might understand it. It's 2 weeks. And now you're Chris Rock at the Apollo? It's 2 weeks. The bigger football question is Jameis ever going to get his job back? And the answer is no. That's a cold, hard no. Why? Ryan Fitzpatrick is saving Dirk Cutter's job. Dirk Cutter was one of the highest odds in Vegas before the season to get fired in season. Him and Hugh Jackson. And Dirk Cutter is now having a guy make him look smart. He ain't going to a quarterback that's going to make him look dumb again. Jameis has no shot at getting his job back. None. Because the coach would get canned with Jameis running his offense.
How many of you want to eat a W tonight?
And Dirk Cutter's offense is better with Ryan Fitzpatrick, obviously. It is better with Fitzpatrick running it. So the team's not going to want to go back to Jameis. The coach doesn't want to go back to Jameis. And the owner and the GM aren't hell-bent on having Jameis Winston a long-term solution. This is worst-case scenario for Jameis Winston. At the moment in his career where we've seen enough on him, you can't say we don't know what Jameis is going to be. We've had 3 years of him starting. We've had enough time with Jameis Winston to kind of know his flaws, turnover prone, doesn't win big games, doesn't get you to the playoffs. Good, big arm, but problems, sometimes temperamental, can get you into some trouble, might not run the tightest offense, all these things. We have enough film and enough scouting on what his potential is, and he gets jammed up, off-season problem, suspension, and at the same time he's being suspended, his head coach on the hot seat has a quarterback walk in and run the offense, not well, but brilliantly. Brilliantly. Sorry, man. You ain't getting your job back. It's just not happening. There's nobody in that locker room or coaching staff right now that wants Jameis Winston to run the offense. There's nobody. They were supposed to be 3-13 this year, 4-12. They're 2-0. They've won two New Orleans and one. And they just beat the defending Super Bowl champions. You can't sell the locker room right now on going back to a quarterback that's been worse. I don't care if Ryan Fitzpatrick throws five picks next week. I know he's not going to be wearing DeSean Jackson's jumpsuit, but it doesn't matter. That's not going to be enough evidence to go back to Jameis. It won't be. Now, if Fitzpatrick has three really bad games in a row, four really bad games in a row, and Cutter is worried about the season spiraling and his job being on the line, fine. But until Fitzpatrick fails multiple times, Jameis is not getting that job back. If Cutter gets fired from the Buccaneers, he might never get a head coaching job again. You think he's going to risk that to bring in a guy that he has tried to teach the offense to and can't? Oh, by the way, look at the money and the draft picks that organization has spent for Jameis Winston. Spent money on Mike Evans, drafted Mike Evans, spent money on DeSean Jackson, spent money and drafted O.J. Howard. They have done everything to support Jameis Winston. And if they see a quarterback doing more with their resources, they're going to get with that quarterback, they're going to give that quarterback more leash. You think the front office and the owner pays all that money to all those targets and sees Ryan Fitzpatrick taking advantage of it more and says, no, we should go back to Jameis Winston? Winston's not under contract after this year. No. Fitzpatrick's going to have to fail and fail spectacularly multiple weeks in a row for Jameis to get that job back. Worst timing ever for Jameis, and serves him right because he's a bozo. Because once you get drafted as the number one pick in the NFL, all that stupid, immature college nonsense that you got away with needed to go away. You got away with it in college because you can. In the NFL, you can't. And it should have gone away, and instead, he was an immature bozo that had to be handsy with the Uber driver and make himself and his organization look like idiots, and he gets suspended, and it serves him right. Because it's so avoidable. I mean, give me a break, Jameis Winston. Give me a break. First of all, I'm supposed to believe that you had an incident with an Uber driver about you being, let's just say, sexually aggressive after a huge scandal about what you did with another girl in a dorm room at a party. So, number one, you haven't learned your lesson about what to do in situations with women. Number two, you're the number one pick in the NFL draft. You're a millionaire. You're popular, franchise quarterback. You can have any chick you want, but you got to get overly aggressive with the Uber driver? What are you, an idiot? Serves him right. He ain't getting that job back. He's not. Unless Fitzpatrick has five straight three-interception games or four really awful games in a row, which could happen. That's on the table. But at the current pace, there's not even a decision to be made. Dirk Cutter's not worried about Jameis Winston coming back, and what do? Nobody in that locker room that wants Jameis Winston to be the quarterback right now. They like life right now with Pick Patrick. They really like life. And Ryan Fitzpatrick likes his life as well. I mean, really likes his life right now. There is a very funny meme that circles around Ryan Fitzpatrick of the circle of life, if you will, of Fitzpatrick that I got to tell you because it's so funny. But first, my man BRCG is listening in Kansas City. He's listening to the toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Homeowners, renters, motorcycle insurance, too. Get it all, geico.com. What's up, my man BRCG?
Hey, what's up? Bing me up, my man.
All right.
Hey, and I'm in Topeka now, man, not KC.
Oh, all right. My screen says Kansas City.
Oh, well, that was Mraz. Well, check it out. I'm on this side. Hey, man, we're about to Blair Underwood, Queen Latifah. We're about to set it off. Hey, man, look, I'm a little bit upset with you. How dare you let Robbie Rotunhouse come into the show last week and sing? We don't need to hear that, dude. I mean, really. And then
I thought he was pretty good.
Man, pretty good or not, he is the enemy, bro. He don't get to come on. I'm trying to understand how he got through the door without the rest of the squad whooping him down. Without Mraz being there, y'all supposed to stand up for my boy Mraz. And then he started eating hash browns. Who brought the hash brown stick to national radio? Was it Mraz?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So then why we let Robbie come on the Mraz's turf and then eat hash browns? Y'all should have been busting him up all day long. Come on, man. Y'all can't let that happen, man. Y'all can't let it happen.
All right, those are all fair points by BRCG, and I totally respect his opinion and angle because he's been with me listening to this show for more than 10 years. So BRCG is one of the oldest elder statesmen, D-aliens, here on the show, and his acronym is for Blunt Rolling College Grad, so you know I got to respect him. I felt as though Robbie brought something to the table, huge freeze, with his picks on Thursday. Because he did sing Sinatra and was pretty good at it and brought the hash browns, the potatoes, to pick Boise State to win, which they did not. I actually thought he brought some juice. But, Mraz, did you feel like we should have defended your honor more and not allowed him to do so?
Well, remember, again, a lot of his re-punishment came from the fact that he refused to eat on the show. So then when he whoops out hash browns and eats on the show, he's just a glass house, a huge house of glass. And I don't know how you don't call him out there, but you just laugh. And ooh, it was like he was doing Ryan Fitzpatrick for you. You get sucked in. You see his big, luscious eyes, and you love him.
Dixie Landan tweets, Vontae Davis left in the middle of the game, right when the team needed him. Sounds familiar. Cough, cough. Huge freeze, bailing 2 days before wienership. Wonder where I've heard that before. Cough sound again. Kind of like him trying to bail on salsa. Hashtag Benedict Davis. Hashtag get him out.
Get him out.
All right. I'm hearing you guys. I'm hearing you. People don't like Robbie. I don't blame you.
You can use some exotic booze. There's a bar in far Bombay.
I'm seeing some cheap piano bar in Vegas. Bothering people.
Could I get Frank's Red Hot Sinatra again? I want just one more crooning from Frank's Red Hot Sinatra.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
The Ryan Fitzpatrick cycle. This is so funny. I saw this meme last night on social media. Here is the circle. Signed as a backup. Then we move to become starter. Become the starter when the starter gets hurt. Then it goes to play very well, earn starting spot. Then it goes to get paid. Then it goes to suck. then it goes to get released, and the cycle happens again. Here we go with Ryan Fitzpatrick. Signed as a backup, thrown in as a starter when the guy gets hurt, play really well, become the starter, get paid, then suck and get released and do it all over again. This has happened after his start with the Rams. It's happened when he went to Cincinnati. It happened when he got signed in Buffalo. It happened with the Tennessee Titans. It happened with the Houston Texans. It happened to the New York Jets. And now it's happening again in Buccaneers land. Sign as a backup. Starter gets hurt. You become the starter. Play really well. Get paid. Suck. Get cut. You know it's going to happen again. It's happening. We're right now in the play very well, earn starting spot piece of the puzzle for Ryan Fitzpatrick's cycle of life. When we come back on the show, I'm telling you this. Florida State is one of the five worst Power 5 teams in America. We will discuss next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
It's the DA Show, only on CBS Sports Radio.
Vito with Elmore to the left this time. Hands off Strickland up the middle. Strickland has the 10. Strickland the 5. Strickland on his feet and into the end zone. A 13-yard game-clinching run by Dante Strickland. And the Orange are going to beat FSU.
Matt Park, voice of the Orange on the IMG Syracuse Sports Network. Welcome back, DA, with you here on CBS Sports Radio. A little reminder, the DA Show's best video clips are available every single day on Facebook, as well as YouTube and our website. So watch the best of the show by going to Facebook.com/TheDA Show. Facebook.com/TheDA Show.
I'm not on Twitter or Facebook right now.
Also, check us out on YouTube. Just search CBS Sports Radio and the website DAOnCBS.com and WatchDA.com. I was floored watching Saturday's Florida State-Syracuse game. Floored. Now, I actually, before the game, spread just a little bit of good luck wedding chicken seed on Syracuse on the money line. Because those that knew the Syracuse program, such as myself, and I'm a big SU football fan, because when I was at SU, was the Donovan McNabb years, and so Fiesta Bowls and Orange Bowls, was a thrill. And I really love that program, and I really, really like Dino Babers. And we've had Dino on this show before, and before the season, I filled in for the Jim Rome show, so we had him on the Rome show inside the jungle, and he said, DA, we're going to win. It's just a matter of time. We're going to win here. It's going to work here. It's just a matter of time. And I really believe it. I've seen enough, and they've been very up and down, very inconsistent, but I've seen enough to make me believe, yeah, Dino Babers has... He's got the playbook to win at a lesser Power 5 school like Syracuse, a basketball school, if you will. He just needs time, and he needs support. And if he gets that, they will win. They're not going to become Clemson ever, but they can win. They can win consistently and be a top 25 program that goes to bowl games and wins 8 games a year. I absolutely believe there is the potential with Dino Babers to do that. And so I'm watching this game on Saturday before the wedding reception with a couple of my buddies, and we're going, can you believe this? Because not only is Syracuse beating Florida State, they were beating them down. They were superior. Had Syracuse not bogged down inside the red zone, they would have beaten Florida State by 35 points. Now, coming out of week one, when FSU lost a national TV to Virginia Tech, you could say, well, Va Tech's a really good team. But remember, they lost at home. And Vatek never goes down there and wins in Doak Campbell. Week two, they struggled to beat Samford. Badly struggled. Samford without the T. And now they just got waxed by Syracuse. They didn't only lose, they got outgained. It was 240 yards of offense to 20 at one point in the second half. It was an embarrassment. And for as solid as Syracuse's win was, they did it in the second half with their backup quarterback. That's how bad Florida State was. Florida State's offensive line is arguably the worst offensive line in Division I football. They gave DeAndre Francois no time. And Syracuse ate him alive. every play they broke through. Every play. They couldn't stop a nosebleed on defense. They couldn't protect the quarterback. It was a joke. It became a laughingstock. I mean, at Syracuse, you could imagine, there's not many times that Syracuse fans can party in the second half on an easy win against anybody outside of Wagner. There's never a time where they can leave early in a win unless it's the FCS opponent. It was a joke. In the third and fourth quarter, it was Syracuse dancing on the grave of Florida State. And I said, this is the lowest moment I've ever witnessed in my life of Florida State football. It's the lowest moment because they are getting punked. The team that's beating them is flaunting and taunting them. And it's not Miami beating them. It's not Clemson beating them. Who's flexing on Florida State? Syracuse. Syracuse flexing. Dino Babers seizes the moment because all week he had Syracuse and his players believing, we can win this game. We will win this game. We'll run up the score on FSU. Because one thing Babers knows, he knows the moment. He did it against Clemson last year, and he did it again. And he knew we can win this game because he knew Florida State was down. And he said, if we and when we win this game, let's talk it and let's get some attention on it. Let's get notoriety because this is our moment of the sun. We don't get many of these. And after the game, seize the moment again. His post-game speech, fantastic. He's got those guys riled up. He's got those guys fired up. You put yourselves on the map. They got a vote in the top 25. They got a vote in the top 25. Now, I don't know if Syracuse is a top 25 team. They've beaten Western Michigan, Wagner, and Florida State. And guess what? Here's the reality, guys. The Seminoles are a bottom five program in the power conferences. They are. They are one of the worst teams in the ACC. They might be the worst team in the ACC. And I don't say that with any hyperbole. They might be the worst team in the ACC, which is outrageous because they don't have bottom five talent. They are a bottom five team. Willie Taggart is a disaster. A disaster. And I keep going back to this. Did everybody just forget he went sub 500 last year in the Pac-12? He's coached one season in a power conference, and he went under 500. I know he had qualifications to get that Oregon job. He was very good at Western Kentucky, very good at USF. But, man, Florida State's a different beast. That's a different beast, and you've got to prove it at that next level. To go to Florida State, he had recruited Florida well, went to USF, won there. Man, winning at USF is way different than winning at Florida State. And other than that, he was a lifetime fan? Well, let's just hand the play-calling duties for the Giants over to Mraz then. I mean, that can't be the reason that you target Willie Taggart. They are so lost. Kansas just trashed Rutgers. So Rutgers is by far the worst Power 5 program, by far. They lost 55-14 to Kansas. Kansas hadn't won on the road in like 17 years. I mean, that's the worst program. That's a dumpster fire. They shouldn't even be in the Big Ten. They should just take their bags, go to the FCS, and just try to compete with North Dakota. There is no reason Rutgers should be in Division I right now at that level. But outside of Rutgers, I mean, yeah, there's a few dumpster fires in Power 5. Florida State's right there. That's a 3-9 team staring at you at Florida State. That is the lowest I have ever seen FSU in my lifetime. Getting flexed on by a basketball school on national TV. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Twitter, DA on CBS. When we come back here on the show, little cut line, stories that did not make the cut, plus your epic fail. We listen back to Mraz's meltdown over the Giants. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
Aw, I love the DA.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome back, DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio. Happy Monday to you. Full episodes available on iTunes. Anything that you may have missed from today's recap of the NFL weekend or want to hear again, this is going to be available on iTunes. Right after the show, we'll upload it there. It'll be available for you. Also available on our website, on demand, daoncbs.com. Our Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly. Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And you can always submit a question by going to Twitter and hit me up, DA on CBS. Also, you can send it to us via the website. Matt tweets, DA, since the Cardinals' offense has been so awful through the first 2 weeks of the season, is it time to bench Sam Bradford for Josh Rosen or give it a couple more weeks? Matt, honestly, I think at this point now you give it a couple more weeks. You're not changing the narrative of the season with Josh Rosen. What you have is a bad football team. I don't think they'd be this bad. What you have is a bad football team. But you have already committed to Josh Rosen not being prepared or ready to start the season. So what does it make any sense to start it in week three? He's not going to go, 12-2 the rest of the way. He might be a .500 quarterback at best. He's not winning 10 games as a rookie. So I would give this a couple more weeks. Soak Bradford. It's a bad football team. You lose a few more games. You've got a brand new head coach that should not be under fire. She shouldn't be fired after season number one. So you should give him the leash, the latitude right now to stay with Bradford. First year head coach and rookie quarterback, usually not a good combination. Bradford is a mess, though. 90 yards yesterday, 90 yards passing. He is a mess. And I thought it was laughable that the Cardinals still thought Sam Bradford had something left in him. He doesn't. But I would let Bradford start for the next couple of weeks, 2 or 3 weeks. Get yourself into October. Because pulling the trigger now it's really early on a bad football team for a rookie quarterback. Eventually, Rosen's got to be in there this season. I would just try to hold off the dogs for as long as possible. And I think what the Bills are doing to Josh Allen right now is a great disservice. It's a bad football team, and you're throwing him in there kind of just saying, yeah, all right, well, first thing didn't work, so let's just try the next thing. The next thing happens to be your potential franchise quarterback that you could break in round one. And they weren't competitive against the Chargers yesterday. They weren't competitive. And to me, what are you? You're just going to keep throwing guys out there, waiting for them to fail? Josh Allen was sacked 5 times yesterday. That's what you want your rookie quarterback to go through? Let's get to your cut line stories that did not make the cuts.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
One of the best stories of the MLS season has been Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who came over from Europe, has been a star for a long time, one of the best players in the world, and has signed in MLS with the LA Galaxy. He has been a huge personality. He has embraced being a character. He has a huge, huge personality to begin with. And he has brought life and pizzazz, and not just an aging veteran that we've seen so many times over before in MLS come over here, get a check, and then not play well. Yesterday, he scored his 500th career goal, and it was ridiculous. It was a floater into the box, and he basically taekwondo kicks this thing, roundhouse kicks into the goal. It was incredible. And he has this flair for the dramatic when it matters most. And Zlatan has been everything for MLS that they could want in getting the name brand recognition, the excitement, big market, and him delivering.
Here's Dos Santos. Lifts it into the area. Ibra scores! That is number 500 for Zlatan Ibrahimovic. And only he can get to 500 in that way.
You got to see this goal. It's just extraordinary. Even if you're not a soccer fan, It's a floater into the box, and he just windhouse rounds up in Taekwondo style, kicks it sideways into the net. This guy is phenomenal. And he has brought that juice to MLS, which is exactly what they have needed.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
How about Deshaun Watson? I mean, a crash and burn in Houston. How can you lose to Blaine Gabbert and the Titans? How can you lose that game? Last year, Deshaun Watson looked absolutely staggering. He looked like you could not slow him down. You could not game plan for him. You could not stop him. And this year, through the first 2 weeks, it's been gruesome for the Texans. And I got to tell you, I think this is Bill O'Brien. I've always thought that Bill O'Brien was a bad head coach. I realize some people think I'm unfair about him wearing sweatpants on the sideline, and maybe I go overboard. But he had the lowest bar ever to walk over. He's the best assistant coach that Belichick's ever had in the New England Patriots to become a head coach. Yeah, what does that mean? He's a great 9-7 guy that when Deshaun Watson went down last year, went 4-12. That offense is putrid. And Deshaun Watson yesterday, that final play of the game is a joke. I mean, that's on Watson, obviously. But Deshaun Watson has, what, 14 seconds left of the game, no timeouts? They're trying to drive for a game-tying field goal. And he takes all 12 seconds scrambling around in the pocket and then fires one middle of the field to DeAndre Hopkins. What are you doing? What are you doing? I thought the Houston Texans had a chance to be one of the scarier teams of the AFC to compete with the Patriots because with J.J. Watt back and healthy, Jadeveon Clowney back and healthy, that defense the way that it is, Whitney Merciless, then you add DeAndre Hopkins and the offense to them, Will Fuller and Deshaun Watson back experienced healthy. I said this team should be a really, really good team. And yet here they are, 0-2. We're nowhere close to being the same level the Patriots were in week one. And now losing like that in Tennessee, that's ugly. That is really ugly, and that's sad. And I know that Clowney is out again. He's always injury prone. But woof. I mean, that's a terrible start for Mr. Bill O'Brien, Mr. Sweatpants McGee, butt chin dude.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
I just don't know how you could possibly bring back Zane Gonzalez over the Cleveland Browns. You just can't. I can't believe that the Browns did everything to win and then their kicker undermined him. I mean, we now kind of live in the NFL where I know yesterday was a terrible day for kickers, but we live in a day and age of the NFL where kicking is better than it's ever been, and you can line guys up from 50, 52 yards, 53 yards, and usually they're pretty accurate. I mean, we kind of take for granted now, if you get within 45 yards, it's a good field goal. If you go back to even the 90s, kicking was not nearly this proficient. And now a couple of years with the extended extra point, kickers have gotten used to that. There is no reason in a dome that should happen. Absolutely none. And I just wonder, what have Browns fans done to deserve this? What possibly could they have done? They are now finally out of the woods of misery with a quarterback like Tyrod Taylor, who that final strike to Antonio Callaway was an incredible, gorgeous rainbow. Back of the end zone, right where he has to be, to tie the game, the waning minutes. And yet you are undone by your kicker. I mean, talk about inventing ways to lose. Just inventing it. You know, fans can be mean on Twitter. People can be mean behind the keyboard of anonymity. But he deserved everything he got yesterday on Twitter. Everything. That was a disgrace. After everything they did for Zane Gonzalez to just botch four different kicks in a dome. What are we doing?
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
What are we doing? Honestly, what are we doing? And final news story here. How about Cam Robinson, left tackle for the Jags? Yesterday was a great day for Jacksonville, beating the New England Patriots. They have become the most interesting team of the NFL in my mind, because if that's their potential, out physically and out executing and having a passing attack and doing that without Leonard Fournette against the Patriots, they have the best team of the NFL potential. They might be the best team in the NFL right now. They have a ferocious swarming defense. They have a bravado. They have a steady head coach. They have a GM who's been there and won big games before. And now they've got the experience. They could be the best team in the NFL. The Jaguars, who would have ever thought? But yesterday, they lose their left tackle, Cam Robinson, torn ACL left knee. That's a brutal, brutal loss, and it's one too worth watching because yesterday, Blake Bortles looked phenomenal, but a lot harder to do when you lose your left tackle.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
That is your cut line. Yesterday, or Saturday rather, was the wedding reception, and me and the Bourbon Bell had a wonderful time. We had all the guys here show up, which was so cool. Miraz and his wife, Danielle. The Body Bilotti, first time I could meet Bridget. She is wonderful. Katie Bogish and Andrew Bogish. Katie was a rock star on the dance floor. Jolton Joe D showing up with his girlfriend, James Ward and his wife. It was really, really fun. Today was jam-packed, chock-full because of football. Tomorrow, we'll do some power rankings, some big surprises, some big wins, maybe some big losses from the wedding from Saturday. So we'll do that. And then also the PGP will be some behind-the-scenes stuff as well in preparation and execution of the day and some observations, which was a really awesome, really blessed day. And thanks for all the listeners that have reached out to me on social media and said well wishes. We totally appreciate it, and it was awesome. So the only thing now is, why didn't I invite Huge Freeze? Because if I knew he could sing like Sinatra, I mean, he could have easily taken over the mic when the power went out and we had to kind of restart the music. Just get Huge on the mic and have him sing Fly Away with me.
Fly with me, let's fly away.
I would have done. Why are you shaking your head? That was good.
Because, again, you know that he's going to lose his pick thing, so now you're in this mode where you want to milk Robbie for all he's worth before he's banished from the show.
I don't know he's going to lose anything. He's only a game behind you now.
It doesn't matter. He doesn't even have that's not a nice singing voice.
Oh, it is.
He's your average Cracker Jack karaoke guy who thinks he's better than he is and has done nothing with their singing life. Go
get
a real job.
Come fly with me. Let's fly away.
That's pretty good.
No, it's not. It's like a screeching cat.
That's pretty good. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. An 0-2 giant start means Miraz melting down.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
We drafted Saquon Barkley, who might be a Hall of Famer, might be a star, and you got Giant fans complaining he has no O-line to run behind. Well, what the heck did you expect when you took him? This is like buying a Ferrari when you can't afford the mortgage on your house. The stupidest offseason plan I've ever seen, and now they're 0-2. They're about to go to Houston to face a team who just lost to the Titans, who had neither offensive tackle and Blaine Gabbert starting, and the Giants are going to get their ass kicked to them. And then what's the excuse going to be?
Under pressure, sacked again.
It's shot. Eli Manning is the horse you take behind the barn and do you know what to it.
Zips one right for Beckham, incomplete.
Enough. What, have Kyle Loletta start by Thanksgiving? You had a chance to get Sam Darnold and Josh Rosen, and you spit the bit. So now this year's a wasted year. I'm sure next year's a wasted year. And whenever they decide to finally wake their ass up and draft a quarterback, that will be a wasted year because you got to give him a year to groom. So we're looking at a minimum 3 wasted years.
Manning's going to get sacked again. Fumbles the football.
I'm sitting on my fat ass watching a team go 3-13 year in, year out. When did the New York Giants become the Cleveland Browns, D.A.? I mean, how many Mondays are you going to walk in here and my sorry ass is sitting here? And for what? D.A., Pat Shermer's, you know, let the play clock tick down a last second. He's making Ben McAdoo look like Vince Lombardi.
You know, around, I'm the beacon of light and I'm the beacon of hope.
I can't take it anymore. I'm just done. It's depressing. It sucks. It sucks. It's over. What has the constant thread been for 6 years at garbage? Eli Manning. And I love him. I think he's going to Hall of Fame. It's it. It's shot. And the fact that John Mara failed to acknowledge that in the offseason, and I'm convinced, by the way, that they only hired Shermer and Gettleman because they were the only two idiots who took the job saying, yeah, we'll ride it out with Eli because of last year's backlash when they went to Geno Smith. Oh, Geno Smith would be a pleasant revolution on this team last night. At least he could escape something.
In tough situations.
I'm sorry. I love Eli. The time has come and gone. That's it. I'm tired of it. I'm just so tired of it. I'm tired of the excuses. It's depressing.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Tough weekend for Miraz. Banged up at the wedding. Had a great time, but danced a lot, and so he burned a lot of calories. So he woke up a little sore on Sunday. Giants look like dog food. And he goes 1-2 in his picks, while Hugh Freeze goes 2-1. So just kind of a mess of a Sunday into a Monday.
Get me to Boise.
If you can use some exotic booze, there's a bar in far Bombay.
Oh. Dixieland Dan tweets, yeah, sure. Hugh Freeze brings something to the table. About 350 pounds of fat ass that thinks he can sing, but sounds like a parrot with a heart problem trying to sing so his owners in tournament to parrot pot pie, which Robbie would then eat.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
Get him out.
Correct.
Mm. Chad tweets, Mraz sounds like a man defeated, but for how long? Are we two Giants wins away from him saying they're going to win the division? Or another loss away from him about to turn to the Yankees in the playoffs? Don't fall for the oinker sadness. He pulled this last year on you. Hashtag get him out.
Get him out.
We'll get out right now and then get you to Tuesday's show tomorrow morning, which is going to be a trash Tuesday. So definitely stick around for that. I think we'll have a good one after the wedding weekend. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show. Thanks to Pete the Body Velotti on the Wheels of Steel. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan and Sam Rubinoff at WatchDA.com. And also thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Be good and be good to one another. I'm DA. The mothership's going to disconnect.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.